his team has scored fewer points than the Carolina Panthers.
Everything Ira Kaufman at JoeBucksFan.com is presented by Bill Curry Ford. That's the family name, Curry. Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Bill Curry Ford, a Tampa tradition for 62 years. Shop now at BillCurryFord.com.
What the hell is going on with this offense? It's awful.
Buccaneers fans, here we are with Ira Kaufman, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the king of Newport Richey, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, a man who is covering a 5-6 football team with Tom Brady. What a podcast this will be, and it's all presented by Bill Curry Ford. Bill Curry Ford, they are where you start shopping first at all times for any vehicle, used, new. Nationwide lifetime warranty comes with all types of vehicles, including used. BillCurryFord.com. GM Sean Sullivan has all kinds of specials for you. Get to BillCurryFord.com to check them all out. We'll talk more about Sean later. Sage, I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan, your good buddy. Lee DeCamper, your buddy's here. And the podcast is available, of course, at JoeBucksFan.com, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podcast Addict, all kinds of platforms. And Big Storm Beer is the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. That means we love it, and we sing its praises, and it's locally brewed. Tap rooms in Odessa off State Road 54, and of course in Clearwater, their big flagship location. Live music at both locations. Follow them on Instagram, Big Storm Brewery, Big Storm Brewery Clearwater, Odessa, and of course they're in Orlando at the Amway Center and in Cape Coral, and they're in the stores everywhere. BigStormBrewery.com to look at all the beers. Try a Bromosa, their top seller, the Tangerine IPA. You know, order it in your restaurants. Get it at Publix. Big Storm Beer, Florida's best craft beer. Sage, man, it was such a disaster. I was going to call Florida's Elite Restoration after that game and just beg for mercy to come on out and assess what the hell's going on. Man, just a devastating day for Bucks fans, and it just didn't have to happen, Ira. Lee and I were going to clear the floor for you. And then, you know what, Ira, why don't you just let it rip? And then, Lee, you let it rip. I'll let it rip. And then we'll sort of come together and figure out what, figure out some common ground or what the hell. Ira, Bucks lose to the Browns in overtime. They punt over and over and over again in the second half. All kinds of weird things going on, mistakes. Todd Bowles doesn't call timeout with Tom Brady and a chance to not even a touchdown drive. All he needed was a field goal, three timeouts in his pocket, and Todd Bowles had the audacity to say, after a day to think about it, he didn't apologize. He said, well, you know what? Not calling timeout. I was fearful that, Tom Brady might get intercepted. I don't know what to say, Ira. It's all yours.
Let me get my hooks in over here, Stevie. I'm starting on a positive note. Yes, I am, Lee. Yes, I am. And my positive note is, about 20 minutes ago, I talked to my son, Sam, and he's driving back to Cleveland all day today from Orlando, and he's in his shiny F-150 from Bill Curry Ford, and he's driving, he just got through North Carolina. I said, what road are you on? He says, I don't know. That's a bad sign, Lee. But I said, how's the vehicle? He goes, outstanding. What a smooth ride. That's as far as the positive news is, DeCamper. And I'm going to say it right now. I don't know what the date is. Lee, I never thought I'd say this. Never thought I'd say this about a team with Tom Brady under center. Lee, he's taken every freaking snap of the season. Every one. He hasn't missed a single snap. So that's the background for saying this. This is not a good football team, Lee. I can't believe I'm saying it. This is not a good football team. The proof is there. They're 5-6. Lee, in any other division, both conferences, they'd be at least two games out of first place in the division. But no, in the NFC South, there's still hope. This decrepit division. Even the Falcons can't take advantage. They lose to a garbage team. Lee, this team is a game and a half behind the Commanders. This team has scored fewer points than the Carolina Panthers. They must have used six quarterbacks this season. Brady hasn't missed a snap. Now, Lee, more specifically, and I've been a little slow to come around on this, and you've been there from the start. I'll give you credit. But now I'm there with you. Lee, that was a terribly coached football game. Terrible. Not just Bowles. Where's Leftwich? Isn't he watching the second half? Yeah, Myles Garrett is a hell of a player. I know it, and you know it. He's going to get his sacks. But Lee, when he's working the guy over the entire second half, and I watched one replay, and they had Rashad White trying to chip Myles Garrett. He tossed him aside like a rag doll, and he was past Donovan Smith within 0.5 seconds. That's terrible coaching. This guy is wrecking your offense. Give Smith some help. He's not having a good day. Help him. Put Kokeith over there. Give him a little help. No, he doesn't do it. Lee, there's so few things to take solace from. So few. Devin White played okay. Godwin played okay. I mean, there ain't much, Lee. This is not a good football team. And I'm not sure they can beat the Saints Monday night. How do you like that?
I've gone from anger to disbelief to depression. And right now I'm in depression. I just can't believe what we're watching. Now, I can't say it's a poorly coached team because the defense played well. You know, it couldn't make one play to win the game. But they still held the NFL team on the road to 17 points. When you have the talent the Bucs have on offense, that game should be in the bag. I've been screaming about Leftwich for over a year now. Arians tells you, he's a head coach material. Where? Lakewood High School? If that's head coaching material, I seriously got to question Bruce Arians' standards. My goodness. Basically what it is, this is Cutter on steroids. Cutter hired all his buddies, and we saw what happened. Well, Arians set up his buddies, and we're watching in real time them destroy one of the better teams in the NFL. And I say destroy. This team is barely better than the 99 Bucks when they had Dilfer, Shedell Anthony, Jackass Green, and Hurt Emmanuel for weapons. That's how bad Bowles and Leftwich have wrecked us. Now, I used to give Bowles a pass. I like Todd a lot. He's been good to all of us, you know, all three of us. And I've always kind of given him a pass. Like, well, he handed the offense to Leftwich, and Leftwich is botched. There's no way you could argue that. I'll sit here and drink Crown Royal with Bruce Arians all night long and point out how he's ruined the offense. But I've always given Bowles the pass. I can no longer do that because this offense, these results are not just approved, not just condoned, but accepted by Bowles. He is good. He's happy with these results. Otherwise, he would have made changes. So he's as guilty as Leftwich. He's allowing this to happen. He might even be encouraging this to happen. And this is just one of the greatest football sins I've ever witnessed.
Steve, I want to make two more quick points before I turn it over to you, Stevie. And I mentioned this to Lee, and I think it's important. It backs up what I'm saying. Steve, I think it's fair to say, in the last 9 games, not 9 weeks, 9 games, since the win in New Orleans, week 2, 9 games, they have played one good football game. And that was in Munich. One, Steve, in the last 9 games. And here's the second one, which this one just boggles the mind. They played 11 games. I hate to break it to you. They've topped the 21-point mark. Not the 31-point mark, Steve. The 21-point mark. Twice this season. What the hell is going on with this offense? It's awful.
Man, so much went wrong in this game, and I put it all on Todd Bowles, and I never gave Todd Bowles a pass because he's the head coach. He's in charge. Simple as that, as Lovey Smith used to say. But Ira, with the game on the line, I didn't sleep about this. It's just, I can't believe it. I watched this game 3 times. I didn't believe it the second time when I watched it and I focused on who was on the field. With the game on the line, 4th and 10, Browns have the ball, at the Bucs 12-yard line. One play. That's all you got. One play, Cleveland. Yeah, sure, you can get stopped at the one and get a first down. But you got one play to tie this thing up effectively because you knew they were going to the end zone. And Todd Bowles did not call timeout to keep time on the clock in case, if they score, Brady's got more time. Okay. So he didn't call timeout for that because he didn't want them to think about it and they were out of timeouts. Okay. With the game on the line, the front four for the Buccaneers was Jannard Avery, Logan Hall, Rakeem Nunez-Roches, and Joe Tryon-Shoyinka. $20 million of beast on the bench in Vita Vea and Akeem Hicks. Now, that's not Jason Light's fault when he bought those guys and bought Hicks primarily because of his pass rushing ability versus Sue. And Vea is supposed to be a captain of the team, which he is, an elite player. And there he is sitting on the bench because Todd Bowles won't call timeout and say, you know what, I want my best players on the field for the biggest play of the game. It's a fireable offense. Who could possibly do that? Every single fan, if they were saying which 11 should be on the field, would not have picked those guys. But the guy who picked him was Todd Bowles. There was no push up the middle. Surprise, surprise, he didn't have his two monsters in the middle with their hands up. You know, I would have even been fine with Will Golston in there and his 6'7" long arm. Didn't happen. Touchdown, miracle catch by the guy. It's just disgusting. And as far as the offense goes, they just haven't been able to fix it. And as Lee has been saying, there's no reason to believe that they know how to fix it at this point. It's just it's a nightmare. It's an absolute nightmare.
You could argue that they broke the offense.
They did. Somebody did.
Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall, and they couldn't put him back together.
Somebody somewhere broke the offense, Ira, but I go back to the running game, and I know that's not why they lost, but you have the lead. You've got like six possessions to simply just move the chains, eat the clock, kick a field goal, get up by 10, and go home. But they can't run the football, and a lot of it's just scheming. They're really bad at scheming the run. Arians was never that great at it. Leftwich is worse, and it's a mess. And there's something, Ira, before I let it go back to you here. Tom Brady had a sit-down with the broadcast crew in Germany for that game. In that game, calling for NFL Network was Michael Irvin. Michael Irvin was in the booth. Michael Irvin was on ESPN saying that Tom Brady told him that he'd like to do one-on-ones in practice, but they haven't done them in two seasons, meaning receivers just working one-on-one with cornerbacks so Brady can get a feel for all of their little cuts and preferences and all that stuff.
So that's why Bowles was asked about one-on-ones in practice.
Yes.
And so somebody's lying.
So Irvin said Brady says he wants to do it, but they don't do them. And maybe Irvin got it wrong, but something's going wrong there.
Steve, that was excellent research on the tying touchdown. And Lee, I'm going to put the sour cherry on the top of the play. And I think it's a very valid point. Here we go, Lee. Not only did they have that mishmash up front that produced very little pass rush, but Lee, on a day when Devin White was all over the joint and particularly effective as a blitzer, what does he do with Devin White on the game's most important play? He drops him into coverage instead of telling him, go put Jacoby Brissett on his ass.
I see where you're going. I don't disagree that may have been a better call. But if the insinuation is that White can't cover and that's why the touchdown was made, no, White had decent coverage. That was just a freak play. That was a hell of a catch by the tight end. So I can't. I know where you're going. I don't fully disagree.
No, my point is this. The touchdown was made for two reasons. One, the guy made a fantastic catch. He did.
Yeah.
But Steve, the other part of it, which is legitimate, the guy wasn't under duress. And I'm not ripping Devin White for his coverage. I'm saying use him what he does best. And he was very effective all game. And Brissett had plenty of time, unobstructed vision, still took a hell of a catch. But I want that guy running for his life. And I didn't see it, Steve.
A lot of bad things going on here, Ira. Sage, what we all need tonight is an ice-cold Bromosa from Big Storm Brewery. Big Storm Beer is Florida's best craft beer, brewed locally, Tap rooms can be found at BigStormBrewery.com. Big Storm Beer, Wavemaker Amber Ale, Tropic Pressure Florida Ale. So many greats. Big Storm Beer. Before we talk about the punt on 4th and 2 from the 37, which is just absolute insanity in 2022 with Tom Brady. And, you know, keep in mind Julio Jones has played the last 4 games. He's played a lot of snaps, and he's played pretty well. So they got all 3 guns out there, and 4th and 2, you're punting from the 37 with Jacoby against the Browns. And I think the big cloud over this whole game, Ira, is the Browns. 2 weeks to prepare for the Browns. The Browns! And this is what happens against the Browns. Mind-boggling, Ira. But you know what? Well, screw what I was going to say. The punt on 4th and 2, Ira, from the 37. Your thoughts?
Totally disagreed with the call. I was shocked at the call. And may I say, Kamara, you got to do a better job, too. You got to drop that ball at the 10 and hang it high. You didn't do it. They had a net gain of 17 yards lead. That's ridiculous. Made a bad situation even worse. Well, let's return the focus to the call. You got to bet on Tom Brady. You got to bank on Tom Brady.
Yeah.
And that's not the only time that he didn't do it. We'll get around to that other situation. 4th and 2 from the 37. I'm not punting from the 37. He tried to twist it into, we had stopped him all day long. You know what, Lee? If you don't make the 4th and 2, why shouldn't you think you can stop him if they get the ball at the 37?
Well, that's just it. The guys on Fox, Vilma and Kenny Albert, like, oh, that's such a great move by Todd Bowles. He trusts his defense. Bullshit. If he trusted his defense, he would have gone for it on 4th down. That's a con. That's when you know you got to suck up to the guys in the production meetings. That was an absolute con those guys did to the listeners. Oh, that's such a smart move. Todd Bowles trusts his defense. You're full of it. He didn't trust his defense. Otherwise, he would have gone for it. That's a crock. And Bowles said today, oh, my defense is playing great. You know, I let's go to overtime. No, Todd, you didn't trust your defense when you put it. You could have put the game away. You didn't trust your defense. Why did you punt? Because you were scared the Browns were going to move the ball. Otherwise, you wouldn't have punted. You didn't trust your defense. You didn't trust the best quarterback that ever lived. You didn't trust your team. No wonder Bowles has lost his team. No wonder he can't get these guys fired up to play. They've had it with him. They've tuned him out. They've absolutely tuned him out. You know, you guys talked about this great speech that Todd Bowles had about accountability. Not only did I say it did not resonate with me, there's other people saying that was one of the worst things they've ever heard. And I like Todd Bowles. Damn it, I like him. But he is doing a textbook how to F up a team 101. Not just a practice, the whole freaking season. Week after week, I think we got to be fair and ask, how long does Todd Bowles have? I'm not calling for him to get fired, but you got to ask, will he return next year after this debacle? By the way, especially with Sean Payton hanging out there, and Brady might play another year.
Well, you're not getting Payton if Brady's not here. So that's number one.
Oh, I agree with that. But if Brady might play again, and he got Payton out there,
you were not at your own 35, Steve. If you're at your 35, you punt the football. You punt. You're at the other team's 37. It's a bad look, Steve. It's a bad call.
I thought it was actually a bad call. Punting on Cleveland's 48. Forget 37 on 48. Twice in the fourth quarter, he had a chance for a kill shot. And he didn't trust his defense or the offense.
What was the yardage situation?
There was 4th and 3 from the Cleveland 47 or 48, and he punted. This was after the 4th and 2 from the 37. Sage, couple things. First, about a month ago, I said very clear, I'd fire Todd Bowles if you have a losing record this year. I have no qualms about it. Doesn't matter if I like him or don't like him. It's completely irrelevant about calling what I see. He deserves to be fired if you underachieve this much with Tom Brady. You know, we talked about that. I don't have a problem saying it. The irony here is that Arians gave the job to Todd Bowles when he did, so he could lean on Tom Brady. He said, I don't want to give him the job with just another quarterback. He's got a chance for Brady. This is it. And so Bowles is given this gift of this great job with great talent and the greatest quarterback ever, and he doesn't want to lean on him? I mean, I made the point here in this podcast, he doesn't even freaking talk to Brady in the game. You never see them together. And there's something going on here. I don't know what it is. I mean, there's a timeout. Leftwich goes out to talk to Tom Brady. Why doesn't Todd Bowles walk in there and hear the vibe and get a feel when he's about to make critical calls that involve those two guys? I mean, what the hell is going on here? And the Glazers have to know, Ira, that this is a mess, that this is a colossal... colossal.
They know all too well.
It's a
They see millions and millions of dollars invested going up in smoke.
Sage, it's a historic right now. It's a historic underachievement. And they've got to recognize that. Now, I believe, Bowles deserves the full season. Absolutely. Every coach does, I think, a first-year coach, unless, you know, there's an all-out mutiny, which there's not. But I think it's a mess, Ira. And what are your thoughts about Bowles' future?
I have trouble disagreeing with you about the losing record. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to finish with a losing record. But, Lee, they got to go 4-2. To avoid
I don't think that's happening.
Obviously, Cincinnati and San Francisco are difficult. Now, guys, you're not going to agree with me. I can just hear Lee. Can't wait to get to the microphone. You got to give me my minute, Lee, before you do.
Oh, yeah, it's your podcast.
Gentlemen, we focused on the coaching, and you can't say enough about it. But we would be remiss. Yes, I'm going to say it, Lee. I don't like the way Brady's playing. They're not scoring enough touchdowns. His disconnect with Mike Evans was disgusting. Awful. Freaking awful. His numbers weren't bad, but they're not scoring any touchdowns, Lee. And Brady's got to take his share of the blame, too. Lee, he's not playing particularly well.
What's not well?
He's not scoring touchdowns.
We heard Bowles. He's one step away from doing a Lovie Smith. You know, I don't want points. He's one step away from Lovie Smith. So have they effed up this offense to the point that it's hard to score touchdowns?
Steve, I can't figure the offense out. Rashad White doesn't get a pass thrown in his direction in Germany, and he catches all nine targets, but they're, you know, he averages 5 yards a catch. Steve, he's not James White as a receiver out of the backfield. He's not. Where's his connection with Mike Evans? What's going on, Steven?
I don't know, and that catch by Evans on the sideline that was ruled out of bounds, that was probably a catch. Bowles should have called timeout.
He couldn't call timeout.
He had timeouts.
For the 2 minutes, right?
Oh, you could call timeout and say, hey, guys.
Oh, call timeout, yeah, but in hope, and you got to hope that the guys upstairs decide to challenge you.
Yeah, you call timeout, and you scream at the guys on the field and say, hey, give us a full challenge here because we're being too hasty. Coaches do that all the time. I don't know. If that catch counts, Ira, we're talking about how legendary they are. But no, I don't understand some of the disconnect. And look, Evans had a rookie cornerback covering him most of the day. Denzel Ward was on Chris Godwin for a good chunk of the day.
I didn't see much separation from Mike Evans.
No, and there was a ball late that he seemed to give up on a little bit. I don't know if he lost it or something. I don't know. It's just not right. Rashad White, his run early was for 35 yards. Beautiful run, except he was untouched for 32 yards. I mean, the hole was massive. Anybody could have run through that. After that, big run, Ira. He was 13 for 29. That's awful. And the Browns' run defense is terrible. They just don't have the ability to scheme it, and I understand that it's not the greatest run-blocking offensive line, but it shouldn't be this bad, especially when you have a passing attack. You don't see the draw plays where they're spreading out wide and handing it off. Very depressing how far they've fallen. That's really what it comes down to. You go from 30 points to 18, it's a crisis situation. It's the same coaches. It's the same quarterback, and you got elite players out there. I don't see it being a lot more than coaching. Of course, yeah, it would be great to have Ryan Jensen in there. But
and, Lee, I just thought of it's a morbid thought. It's morbid. But Cameron Jordan comes off the left side. He's had some great battles with Wirfs. I think Wirfs has won most of the battles. Jordan gets his sack. We're all stunned that Wirfs got beat. Doesn't happen. And Wirfs ain't going to be out there Monday night. And it could be Josh Wells. And here comes Cameron Jordan. I don't like that matchup, Lee.
No. It was obscenely irresponsible that the game went in overtime. And it may have cost them their two best young players, Winfield and Wirfs, who both had sprained ankles in overtime. And I really hope Todd Bowles thinks of that when he goes to bed every night the next 3 weeks.
Steve, I don't understand how the momentum from Germany dissipated by the time kickoff arrived after a bye week. You go in, you're down 7-0 before you blink. I don't get it, Steve.
Sage, I don't think the momentum dissipated at all. I think they came out pretty well. The Browns scored on that opening. Yeah. The Browns scored on the opening possession, but that was a very well-designed play to run a reverse right at Joe Tryon-Shoyinka, who overcommits all the time in the run game and was going to give up the edge, and it worked. So I got to give them some credit on that. But the Bucs came out firing, and everything looked good. Mike Evans even said it felt like we could do anything on them. It was going along okay, and then it fell apart, and they didn't have any adjustments for it. I don't know. I think they're just the answer is they're not that good.
Please, 6-3 and outs. It's almost half your possessions. Half your possessions, you go 3 and out, Lee?
I've been screaming about that all year, Ira. This is nothing new. That's that mental midget that's the offensive coordinator. Been saying it all year.
And I'm disappointed in Brady, Ira. You mentioned Brady. I'm disappointed that he has not been able to make adjustments. And obviously he has input, big input, that his input and his influence has not made a big enough difference. I'm disappointed in him there. I really am. As far as how he's playing, I don't think he's playing that badly to the point where we can start pointing fingers at him. Yes, late in the fourth quarter here, he missed a shot to Chris Godwin, middle of the field, about a 30-yard shot. Godwin was open. It would have taken a solid throw, a strong throw, safety coming in, but it was there. And he overthrew him. If he hits that, they kick a field goal, it's all done. I'm not saying Brady's perfect, but I don't think it's on Brady. I really don't, Ira.
They are so fortunate that they're in this division, Lee. Can you imagine?
Yeah, I'm not looking at the big picture. I've got my freaking laser sights on that clown that's running the offense. And it ain't moving off of him.
Lee, they might get in the postseason at 8-9, Lee. They might.
They might, and guess what? They might lose.
Hey, Ira, if they go 8-9, If they go 8-9, they will make the postseason. I mean, mathematically, it's all there for them. If they find a way to 8-9, they're probably in the postseason. But to me, it's still fireable. Unless you start ripping off wins in the postseason, it's a disaster.
I agree with that, Steve. If you go flame out in the postseason after going 8-9, that's a disaster.
Disaster also means you call Florida's Elite Restoration, Sage, immediately. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. They're there for you 24/7. Maybe it's mold. They are licensed mold remediation specialists. Maybe it's water damage and you had a flood you didn't realize and you got a mess. Florida's Elite Restoration is who you call. Storm damage, whatever it is, they will come out to your home, give you a free assessment, and they're experts. Owner Josh Martin, 14 years experience as an insurance adjuster. So he knows what to look for, but he also knows how to deal with your insurance company if it's going to be an insurance claim and they're looking to not pay you. And Josh knows how to make sure you get paid. Florida's Elite Restoration has $500 off for anybody who mentions Joe Bucks Fan or Ira Kaufman before agreeing to Florida's Elite Restoration doing work for you in your home or your business. But either way, they're going to come out and give you a free assessment. So call them up. Say, Ira sent me. You'll be in great, great hands. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Again, 24/7, they'll respond. Don't waste time. You need to address these things immediately to make sure you have all the coverage that you're entitled to.
Florida's Elite Restoration.
Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Sage, right. Brady said two things on his podcast of note. First thing he said was that he's really seen a lot of good in practice, that he feels like they've made significant strides in areas, but it's just not showing up consistently enough on Sunday. And Devin White said after the game, in his interview in the locker room, he kind of lamented, man, we had such a great week of preparation, and that makes it even worse. I could almost stomach it better if they had a crappy week or some sort of excuse or whatever, but they seem to be practicing well, but Bowles just doesn't have it together and isn't getting them motivated to play with their hair on fire on game day. I don't know how the hell, I don't know how the hell Carlton Davis is getting away with some of these non-tackles. I mean, it's insanity. But Brady also said, Ira, when you make a bunch of good plays in games and you make some bad plays, you're average. And average is what we are, is what he said. We're 5-6, we're average. And you just can't make bad plays in games and expect to get away with it. But the big interesting thing he said, Sage, and it was really very interesting, was that Brady said, quote, "I'd rather lose and play than not play at all." And he talked about how much he enjoys playing and enjoys the fight and enjoys the struggle and how much he still loves practice and that he loves trying to get better every day. And he implied, he didn't say Christensen's name, but that's who it appeared to be. And he talked about a conversation that seemed to be with Christensen about the ups and downs and just that he loves it all and that he's going to keep fighting. And he basically sounded like a guy who wants to keep playing because he loves it so much.
If I'm a Buck fan, Lee, I don't want to hear it. I don't care about his enthusiasm level at this point. They're 5-6. And by the way, Mr. DeKemper, and this is a layup for you, Lee. Reserve some of your coaching vitriol, and you've been outstanding tonight. Outstanding. Lee, reserve a little bit for Mr. Keith Armstrong, because their special teams sucked.
Yeah, that's not really a surprise. They've not been good since before he showed up.
Yeah.
The key problem is left, which that's the key problem.
Out of all the bad plays, the losing plays in that game, I think one of the most significant, Steve, was when the Browns punted from deep in their territory. Buck fans are salivating. We're going to start the possession at our own 40. The guy kicks a 65-yard punt. You know, Darden was okay. Returned it 10 yards or whatever. And then McCollum gets called for the old block in the back. Lee, it's a 68-yard gain for the Browns.
I know.
That's disgraceful.
Yeah. You know, I don't know what the Glazers do in the offseason. What are they going to do? They're going to blow it up? Are they going to, like I said, they're going to keep Brady? Are they going to make a pitch for Sean Payton?
Most of it depends on whether Brady's coming back, Steve, right? Whether you blow it up or not.
Well, you're not going to know necessarily if he's coming back or not because he's Tom Brady. So you can't start playing games with coaches in February, you know, not knowing what you're going to be doing and all that. So, you know, they have to make some big decisions. And if Brady wants to play, this is the kind of stuff that's worked out behind the scenes in the NFL all the time.
Right now, we've probably taken the bait that everybody does, most everybody. So what I mean by that is if the Glazers are going to make a change, they're already talking to agents. I mean, it's almost December. They wouldn't wait this long. And if they're going to make a change, you got to believe the agents of these coaches or the coaches themselves said, I got to know whether Brady's here or not before we continue any talks.
Yeah, there's too much in flux, Steve. I mean, to be fair, Brady has to tell the Bucs his intentions as soon as possible after the season ends. You can't fool around because when free agency comes around, Steve, they don't know if Brady's playing. How do they know whether to make a pitch for a veteran quarterback?
It would not surprise me whatsoever if the Glazers or Jason Light, the Glazers have had more than one conversation with Don Yee.
Right.
And for those who don't know, Don Yee represents both Brady and Sean Payton. And for all we know, they could be talking about some kind of package deal. And telling Don Yee, look, coach Brady 1 year, and then we're going to bust our ass to get Caleb Williams the next spring, and you could have Caleb Williams. I don't think Sean Payton's going to go anywhere unless he knows who his quarterback is going to be or have an idea 2 years from now. For example, he's not going to come take the Bucs job. Brady's going to be quarterback 1 year, and then next year he's got Kyle Trask. I don't think that's going to happen.
And Steve, as soon as Drew Brees was gone, Sean Payton was gone. Lee's right. You don't get a sniff from Sean Payton until you have certainty under center.
Well, Sean Payton coached there last year without Drew Brees, right? I don't know about that. If I can go there.
1 year.
I don't know, Sage.
He saw the writing on the wall.
Yeah, but Ira, he was there for 15-plus years. There were rumblings of him wanting to leave a decade ago. I mean, I just think his time ended. I don't know if I can, you know, pin that on other things. And I don't think they're out of any Sean Payton sweepstakes. If Sean Payton really wants to coach another 5-10 years and take on a program, then, you know, he's looking beyond just who the quarterback is out of the gate and not every situation is perfect. He's not going to land with a good team necessarily unless he goes to Dallas, which seems pretty far-fetched at this point. I mean,
the Chargers.
I understand, but he may not want to be in that division with Patrick Mahomes. I mean, these guys are egomaniacs. They want to be at the top of their division. They want to be in the, you know, a top seed every year. He might look at the Bucs and say, look, this is the worst division in football. I step in as the best coach in the division by a mile. I got big-time talent. Todd Bowles didn't know what the hell he was doing. I can jump in there and win 10 games easily and figure it out from there. I don't know. I don't think he's out of it just because Tom Brady's not here, because Tom Brady may not play at all. Cause Sean Payton's got a coach somewhere.
Well, Steve, I think you're underplaying the quarterback angle. I do. The way this game's played right now, you better have a Mahomes, unless you got a defense like the 49ers, and not too many teams do. You got to have Joe Burrow. You got to have these guys. And the Bucs won't have one post-Brady, unless they pull a rabbit out of a hat. Lee, as far as Caleb Williams, you're talking about going 4-13 to get
the guy. I guess the perfect scenario for Bucs fans, I've talked to a few of them already, and they don't disagree with me. They say Brady leaves after this year. They give Bowles another year because he wanted to hire his assistants. I know, Steve, calm down. I know you freak out when I say this, but it's actually true. He's already on record as saying he had other assistants in mind, but it was too late in the coaching cycle to hire him. So he wants his own assistants, and if they're going to be fair, if money's not an issue, you want to be fair, you almost got to give the guy a chance to have his own assistants. So, Bowles, if the Bucs can't win with Brady, imagine how horrible they're going to be with Kyle Trask. And that will set the Bucs up to make a run for Caleb Williams in 2024 draft.
Why is it fair that a guy has to get his own assistants? Do you think if they said, hey, Todd, would you rather wait to get a job and hire your own staff, or would you rather coach Tom Brady and work with all these guys you know? Do you think it's unfair that we just hand you this great job at top dollar with Tom Brady? I mean, I'm sure...
If you have enough confidence in the guy to hire him as a head coach, I would guess you would also have enough confidence that he thinks he might be able to improve his staff or himself with his own players. I don't know if too many people that hire a coach and say, you can't hire anybody else because you're too stupid. You know, otherwise, they wouldn't give the guy the job.
Lee makes a legitimate point, Steve. I mean, you want to give a guy a chance to hire his own staff.
Ira, what is with the want to give a guy a chance? I don't understand. He's had the ultimate chance. He was given a gift of a phenomenal team. If he sucks, he sucks. You're gonna
let's hang on a moment here. If we're bitching about the coaching, and we are, what's to say Bowles has already told the Gladiators, look, I can find better coaches. I just didn't have a chance to do that last year. Are we to say Bowles doesn't know someone out there who could do a better job than Byron Leftwich? That's a stretch. Leftwich is horrible, man.
I don't think they would have found anyone who Tom Brady would have been willing to work with. I mean, realistically.
He's willing to work with Leftwich and Bowles.
Now, Lee, I will say this. When Bowles did say that, and you're right, that if he had the opportunity, he would have made a few changes.
He didn't say that. He said it was late in the hiring cycle, and they didn't have a chance to look at that because it was late. He didn't say, I wanted to hire X, Y, and Z guy, Ira.
I heard him actually say he had coaches in mind, but he couldn't hire him because it was too late in the coaching cycle.
But, Lee, I don't know
how else to interpret that.
I don't think he was targeting Byron Leftwich at that point. I do not.
No, I'm not saying he was, but I'm just hypothetically.
If Bowles sucks, he sucks. I can't buy into this. Oh, it's not fair, and he needs to get high. You know, we think he's so great, and the only reason we went 8-9 this year is because he couldn't hire a couple of stiffs. It's not like he's got some coaching tree or some pedigree. He couldn't hire an offensive coach in New York. His defense quit on him. I mean, I think we all have to look at if this continues, at you know maybe an apology to the Jets front office. You know, for allegedly being so bad, Todd Bowles couldn't wield his magic.
Steve, to your main point, Steve, I'll say it again. If he finishes 8-9, even if he makes the playoffs, if they don't win a couple of games in the playoffs, it's a disaster, and he's going to have to bear the responsibility for the disaster.
Ira, do you think Sage, do you think Byron Leftwich may get canned after this game or next week?
No, I do not. I just think that the loyalty, I think Bowles still believes in him. I know Lee doesn't want to hear it, but I think that's true. I think Bowles feels that it's not all on Leftwich. The players aren't doing a good job either. They're not making plays. I don't see Bowles as a guy who's going to make a move like that. Now, I know it's coming. Steve's thinking it might not be Bowles' choice whether to keep Leftwich all season. Interesting. I don't know if you were going to say that, Steve, but that's an interesting angle.
I agree with Ira only because if they were going to make a change, they would have done it by now.
Are they going to let Bruce Arians put a headset on, Ira? Are they going to play the egomaniacal game of what they're doing now? Can you imagine what Bruce was going through his head when he saw Leftwich punting on 4th and 2 at the 37 and not calling timeouts for Tom Brady?
I am sure Arians was livid. You'll never get him to say it publicly. It's sort of the anti-Arians approach, right, Lee?
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
And, Steve, you didn't even mention this part when you were talking about his explanation for not calling a timeout after the one-yard gain on first down.
I can't think straight, Ira. I'm pissed off. I don't even know what I'm doing anymore.
I'm sitting with Steve.
Steve, he specifically talked about the dangers of throwing a pick in that situation. Lee, the guy's thrown 3 picks all year. 3.
Is it 3? I was thinking 2.
2, Ira. What about the danger of having Joe Tryon Soyinka on the field for any running play? What about that, Todd?
Oh, boy. You know, he was invisible. Akeem Hicks was invisible. Tryon's a work in progress. I thought he took a step up in Munich. I don't trust him against the run, Lee. He's not too sturdy.
He's not good against the run. Brady has 2 picks. Threw one against Dallas, threw one against Seattle.
Ira, these are tough times, very tough times, which is why you need a sweet ride, which you can find at Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. Sean Sullivan, the GM, he's distressed like all of you Bucks fans, but he is giving you $500 just for ordering a new vehicle, no deposit, BillCurryFord.com. And Sean will help you personally. He'll give you that Ira Kaufman discount, and he's got the nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles, great financing rates. Even the Sage's son came in from Cleveland just to buy a Bill Curry Ford F-150, and there's actually a specific F-150 discount financing right now at BillCurryFord.com. How about that, Ira?
Beautiful. Sam's a believer. By the way, Lee, and don't mention this to Sean, but we're putting it on the podcast anyway. He just got eliminated from the fantasy league.
Oh.
The bottom guy was chopped out. It happened to be Sean Sullivan. Even though he's got Patrick Mahomes, he was chopped. I'm in danger. I'm in danger, Lee. I'm lurking near the bottom now. Thank you, Jonathan Taylor, for having a terrible season. First pick in the draft. So anyway, Sean can't be too happy because he's out of the fantasy league. However, Steve, he's man enough to offer $1,000 check to the winner. He doesn't have to do something like that. Steve, that tells you all you need to know about Mr. Sean Sullivan.
Ira, what do fans need to know who are as distressed as Lee and I are? Where do you go from here with this team that is just so historically underachieving, 18 points a game for this offense, not a lot getting better, and with Wirfs gone, I don't know. Where do they go from here? Is there any hope here, Ira, where you think they can, now I'm not going to say flip a switch, but if they get to 8-9, can they do anything in the playoffs?
It's looking bleak, Lee, because
not
down 2 of your 5 best players in Wirfs and Barrett, key players on both sides of the ball. I mean, you know what I think of Wirfs, Lee. Mm-hmm. I can't say enough about him. And now you got a problem at right tackle like you needed another problem. Now you got to worry about right tackle. It's the one part of the offense you didn't worry about, Lee. You never worried about it. I think they can stumble 8-9, Lee. I think they can get there. 9-8, I'm a little doubtful. 8-9, make the playoffs. What are you going to do in the postseason? It's looking like a lost season that's going to have severe repercussions. Number one, does Brady want to come back to an 8-9 football team if he has a chance to go somewhere else? That's a real question, Lee.
Yeah. And does he want to play for Vols again? Or Leftwich? Yeah, the Bucks can make the playoffs at 8-9, but we're talking about a team that struggles to get to 18 points. I mean, struggle against lousy teams. So I can't picture this. You know, everybody's saying, oh, you don't want to face Brady in the playoffs. You don't want to face that defense in the playoffs. Why not?
Steve, that game was very jarring. It was jarring because they had won two in a row. Maybe they're turning things around. The offense played better in Munich. The running game was better in Munich. You got a bye week. Like you said, you study up on the freaking Browns. I mean, they got one receiver. They got an average quarterback. Yeah, they can run the ball. By the way, Lee, Chubb's the real deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's great. Good. And then, you know, you lose to the Browns. Steve, I mean, it's very jarring as a Buck fan.
Did I not call that was going to happen? They're going on the road, AFC North, a physical team.
Yeah, you did say that. Yes, you did. But you still picked the Bucks, right, Lee?
Yeah, I still picked the Bucks, and that might be the last time I picked the Bucks all year.
Chubb, I'm glad you mentioned Chubb, Ira, because if you really look at the numbers, which we're not going to dive into his numbers, but he's off to a Hall of Fame start of his for his career. And I know you take that Hall of Fame adjective more seriously than I do, but I think I'm being realistic, Ira. I mean, I looked it up before the game. He's averaging 5.3 yards a carry for his career. That's third all time. That's better than better than Jim Brown, and they don't even have a passing game. Incredible stuff, and they had him beat. They had him. But it's the Browns. I mean, it's just disgusting. And here the Saints just got shut out. The offense has been just awful there. And here they come.
And Winston can't get a sniff, Lee. Can't get a sniff. Couldn't even come in when they were getting shut out. Start of the fourth quarter, make a move to Winston, change things up. No. Dennis Allen doesn't do it.
Well,
no,
you know, someone mentioned this to me today. And we're going to go, I guess, deep diving down in what Bowles said in his day after press conference, which is just I still can't describe it. Although I appreciate his candor. But these defensive coaches, this is why I don't like defensive coaches as head coaches. Now, there's exceptions. Mike Tomlin's aggressive. Belichick's obviously aggressive. But by and large, defensive coaches are so play it safe. Don't make a mistake. Keep it close to the vest that they play themselves in the losses. And yes, Dave was a perfect example of that. But these defensive coaches, Dennis Allen, they actually believe that winning the turnover battle is winning the fucking game. Excuse my language. They actually believe winning the turnover battle is more important than points on the scoreboard. They believe that. It's in their DNA. They will not change. And the stuff that Bowles was saying at that podium, I swear that Woody Hayes came back from the grave and was talking. Every time some shock reporter would come back at Bowles, you know, he was saying such idiotic stuff, and they were like, well, wait a minute. You got Tom Brady. Well, wait a minute. You got this offense. Well, wait a minute. You had timeouts. Every response from Bowles was, and he could have thrown an interception. That's all these guys think about. Turnovers. Turnovers is not the game. Points is the game. Production's the game. I don't give a damn a guy throws five picks as long as he's throwing six or seven touchdowns. You don't like picks? Then have your freaking defense play a game. Enough of this. Enough. If you're that freaking scared, get out the building. Go see a counselor. If you're that freaking scared, never in my life did I ever expect an NFL head coach to stand at a podium and admit he's scared. That's not a leader.
And
that's not a head coach. And I like Todd Bowles a lot. I want to see him succeed. But my goodness, that 15, 20 minutes was basically, in my eyes, his death knell as a coach. It's almost like he was saying, don't hire me.
Steve, when Lee gets ramped up, there's nothing like it, Steve. There's nothing like it.
Bowles is doing a nice job with the defense. He really is. But everything else is just, it's a cluster, a complete and total cluster.
And Dennis Allen fits right in, Steve. You know, Steve, if you're not going to use Jameis Winston, when you're in the game in San Francisco, if you can only manufacture a couple of touchdowns, you might win the game. Your defense is playing well. And you don't go to Winston. Steve, don't suit him up. Don't dress him.
Yeah, that's wasting the roster spot. You're right.
I mean, what's going on over there? There's no indication he's benching Dalton for Winston Monday night against the Bucs. I haven't heard that. I guess Winston sounded off a few weeks ago after staying silent all year. You got to wonder what he's been thinking about. But having said all that, Steve, this Buck offense, I mean, scoring less points than the Carolina Panthers. I'll say it again, Steve. No, nobody would believe that. You can't make that up.
Ira, they've got one more touchdown this season than Lovie Smith and Davis Mills and the 1-9-1 Houston Texans. It's a colossal underachievement, historic. And for Todd Bowles to stand there and say that he's afraid to give Tom Brady the ball, you might as well just resign. Because you need Tom Brady to win whatever it is this year. You've got to trust him. If you don't trust him in week 12 against the Browns, just quit and get it all over with.
The best quarterback who ever lived, master of a two-minute offense, who's on a historic pace of not throwing picks, he's scared to give him the ball.
Ira, send us out of here. Nobody can top Lee's rant, so we got to go. Ira, give us a send-off.
Well, first, a thank you to Lee DeKemper. He came ready tonight. He brought the goods. I wish the Buck offense brought the goods, Lee, like you did.
I'm not proud of it.
You're not proud of saying these things? You know, you
not
don't
happy.
Hate, you don't hate Leftwich. You don't hate Bowles. I'll leave it with this, Steve. Everybody likes to talk a good game about complimentary defense, complimentary football. And they showed it in Munich. The defense played very well till letting down a little bit towards the end. The offense was good, well-balanced. And they won. They're up 21-3. I never thought they were going to lose the game by the middle of the first quarter. And so I felt good about the complimentary football. And Lee's point, which I think sometimes goes unnoticed, Steve, this is a top 10 defense. It is. It's a top 10 defense. And I'll say this to Jason Light, Todd Bowles, Bruce Arians, Leftwich especially. This defense deserves better.
Well said.